I think there is still a culture of enlightenment, even a criticism of enlightenment is a form of enlightenment, and therefore you cannot escape from this duty and this this duty of Aufklärung.
Yes?
I answer very shortly.
Okay, go ahead, Boris. I knew you can't miss this.
That story. You know, I have some kind of, always some kind of emotional and spontaneous rejection of what you can name some kind of money bashing or market bashing. You know, the art was always about making values. And if we go back to the ancient period, like the statue, I don't know what, then art always worked with silver, with gold, with precious material, available materials, and the book was always the use of the poor materials, not valuable materials, is a very new phenomenon of the art of the 20th century or end of the 19th century. And this put this question of connection between artwork and money in you. But you know, the money and the value of the thing had something to do with its quality. For example, we can make we can take the example of Duchamp, yeah, of Pissoir from Duchamp, exposed in exhibition. What is the difference between this Pissoir Duchamp exhibited and every other? It is actually the difference in the value and in the money value also. Yes, you can piss in it because it's too valuable. Actually, you can. Yeah, it is kept as something very valuable. Actually, the idea that the common everyday object can be so valuable—it's a very new idea. I think what is interesting in the contemporary situation is the attentiveness to the everyday, not expensive, not valuable objects and phenomena. And so what we are experiencing now, it's not the concentration of the value and money, but some kind of reflective and self-critical process in questioning this relationship. Actually, the ancient time was much more directly involved in very expensive, valuable activity.
It seems the problem is the last thing to be self-reflective and self-critical. I mean, money, yes, money. To me, when I started reading papers, there was about 12, there was economy, and I still don't understand anything of it. But the only thing I understand, economy is something that goes always bad. There is no exception. Economy is something that goes always bad. So money. If you talk about value, no, it is the suggestion of durability that gives precious materials. Because the arts are the only way, I think, the only way to convey the emotions and the feelings we humans have with the things we experience, the historic things we experience. The only way to convey these emotions over the river of death. That the art is the subject, the theater of immortality, is the theater of durability, is the theater to reach out to the next generations. It is when you see a voodoo ritual or a Binti in Suriname ritual, it is it's very healthy for the people to experience that. There is no psychiatrist who can do the work that the Binti ritual does for Suriname people. They get very, and they talk then in different languages, and they talk with, so they express it in the sense that they talk with their ancestors. That seems to be a very very important things. We do the same. If we listen to Mozart, Beethoven, or Shakespeare, we talk with our ancestors. That is a way, it's a method of the species, of the genre, of the humankind, to overcome the boundaries of death. And that is a beauty of the arts. Art is not so much contemporary. That's the difficulty with modernism. They think it is. No, I think art is for to reach out to future generations. That is the main purpose of art.
Yes, I totally agree with you. But what you're saying means actually this close connection with the money, because what is the immortality of museum? What is immortality of arts? It is amount of investment, of money investment, in keeping this art safe. You know, the whole seduction of Christianity was, I believe for me, it is the idea that you can't gain the immortality and save your soul without the money investment. God just sees your soul in all its sins and all its values, and you pay nothing for it, yeah? You pay him, you don't pay the God, yeah? To see at your work, which is your soul. But we are now are living in the situation of secularization, and our only one possible understanding of immortality is for us the financial investment. So it is.
You are putting it for polemic reasons, rhetoric reasons, in rather rigid way, Boris. I'd like if we could move it to a slightly higher utopian plateau. Yesterday, in a meeting of Gulliver, Heiner Müller was talking about utopianism being almost criminalized. If you have utopian dreams, you're an outcast, you're almost a criminal. In that sense, said an artist, if he cannot do that, fulfill his utopian ambitions, he has to become a terrorist. I like this notion of terrorist as a artist manqué, disappointed, frustrated artist. Art, as they try to formulate, is an attempt to formulate a vision. So if the Zukunft gehört der Kunst, we have to go on creating, criticizing visions and dealing with visions, Visionen in Deutsch. Or is the future a postulate of Miller's sentence something else? Einer von uns wir überleben. Maybe der Doppelgänger mit meinem Gesicht aus Schnee. People like to quote you, Heiner. Is only utopia surviving? What about this utopian capability of art?
I just want to tell the Chinese legend. the emperor of the south and the emperor of the north, they are visiting the emperor of the east. And they eat and drink together and they get presents and they are very happy. Go back to their kingdoms, and then they meet the emperor of the north and the emperor of the south. We have to do something for our host because he was so friendly and he gave us so much. We have to do something for him. Then they remember that he has the emperor of the east. He has no holes, no nose holes, no ear holes, no ass holes. So you visit him again and you put holes into his body just to help him to be like we are. Then they visit him again. Monday they put one hole, and Tuesday second hole, and so on. And Saturday or Sunday they put the last hole and then he dies. That's one problem now, not only between East and West.
Back to the utopian plateau. Is this?
No, it's a utopian plateau.
Well, there.
You have to accept it. The things, he could live without holes, but they couldn't accept this and they couldn't think it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they wanted to help him. And now the strangers.
A question is in German. I'll read it as it is written. Ist es möglich, das Wesen von Realität und Wahrheit etwas konkreter zu umschreiben und möglicherweise auch die Realität des Traums? And this is the dream that comes back in several questions, the relationship of art to dreaming, yearning, imagining what does not exist. If the future belongs to the art, art with capital A, and not everyone can be an artist, as Mr. Schad claims, not everyone can be an artist, to whom belongs the future? Only to the happy few, as always? Happy few? Huh? Question for you, Heiner. It's in Dutch, but it was translated to me in English. I'll retell it. You were talking about the positive impact of the bureaucratic censorship on an artist in the past regime, forcing him to be better in his job. But this bureaucratic censure, of course, created a lot of victims, people who could not become better artists because of the censorship, but could not be artists and could not do art. So is there anything else but this capitalist censorship, the censorship of the market that you were talking about? Is there anything else to rely upon?
I think the problem was in the, I can talk about GDR, East Germany, that the censors, people who made the censorship, they didn't know anything about arts. And so we had no real censorship. You can deal with the censorship, which is intelligent, but it's not easy to deal with the censorship, which is just stupid and
brutal.
Brutal because of stupidity or of being afraid of new things. And that was the problem. You know, when, for instance, Ulbricht, he was a lover of the arts. So we went to an exhibition, paintings, and there was a landscape with snow, and he stood there and he said, you see, I think this picture is a bit cold. And for 1 year, it was forbidden to paint snow. But, I mean, for instance, the Pushkin, they all were, there was a censorship, and they all had to deal with it. But I think they had an intelligent censorship that time in Russia, I think. But Pushkin, for instance, the end of Boris Godunov, you know better. I just read about it. The end was, in the first version, the people applaud the wrong or the false Tsar. And the censor said, no, that's not possible. And then he changed the line, and in the second version he said, the people remain silent, which is much more positive and very
stronger.
Stronger.
Several of us at this table lived in the shadow of Sava Lukic, the stupid censor in Mikhail Bulgakov's play The Crimson Island, the one who comes to the dress rehearsal of a speedily done stage adaptation of Jules Verne, The Children of Captain Grants, because he has to go to Yalta, so he has to say, okay, if the theater is to open the show, and of course he doesn't know anything about theater, but then he enjoys very much to mount on the ship of Captain Grant and wave in, participate in the rebellion of revolutionary aborigines who join forces with the sailors of Captain Grant's ship in overthrowing the British imperialist agent. So Sava Lukic for Heiner, for George Conrad, for me, for Boris, for Andrei Bitov, he has been our shadow or partner for many years. We found ways to live with Sava Lukic, we got to know Sava Lukic very well, we found ways to fool Sava Lukic. I must ask you, Janoris, how did you work without Sava Lukic? How did you make theater all this year without Sava Lukic?
Did you miss him?
No, no. It was in the repertoire.
It was in the repertoire?
Yes.
In which way?
In Mayakovsky or in Bulgakov. The first company we started was called Independent Theater. It was out Black Snow. So it was in our mind.
So you share the experience?
Yes.
there is a question saying something about, I'm coming back to it. Where is the difference of a reflection becoming art or commerce? Better, who decides this, art or commerce? And who will decide in the future whether something is art or commerce? How are these distinctions made? Yes?
You have to wait.
It's really the end of the future. Patience. It's the end of the future, it seems to me. And as from our Eastern experience, future is just a very boring word. And if we'll finish with this word, it will be already okay in order to have some, because we have nothing instead of presence. But presence is also coming to the end somehow.
But I think one point is really important, what Peter said, that ask the dialogue.
There is one thing I want to read. That Conrad was in Holland about 1 year ago for a reading. He talked about political situation in his country and told us that he yearned for rest and time to write again. Hans von Menlo thanked the writer with the words, "You may never leave politics again. We cannot do without you." Mark, we and you. Now, is it not a question? How can, may, or must the other world go in pressing the reflector, personal, general, or both, to come out of his or her reality or anti-reality or something in between, to use the common language and take responsibility for their reality? I don't think you can avoid answering this question, George.
Maybe I am not enough intelligent to grasp the substance.
The substance is how can, if I skip the introduction, how can the author go in pressing the reflector, personal or general, to come out of his or her reality or anti-reality or something in between this reality, to use the common language and take responsibility for the reality. So it's again the relationship of the author and his own reality and the degree of his own involvement in that reality.
There are questions which are full of statements, and therefore yes. It's hard to deal with them. I wouldn't like to come out from my reality. That's my own, only reality. I don't have another. I try to understand the reality of other people, and I'm not sure that we have to arrive to a common language. We have to arrive to the precise language of ourselves, and then maybe it will be understandable also for you. So the common is probably the precise language. What politics and literature, yes, these are two activities, and it's private businesses of every person in these over-politicized East European societies, how to make his own borderlines between these two activities, which are unfortunately too mixed, because, yes, the censorship was mentioned, also the censorship, the internal, the external, the censorship of the context, the censorship of a moral pressure of the common public opinion, and people try to find their independence, and sometimes this independence was only the mirror of this common language. There is no general good solution, and it is a good solution if somebody follows some political gestures of him and bends into the professional politics and makes his successes and his efforts, and also he sacrifices a lot with it. It's a very tough decision for people to shake hands too many times and to smile for Havel once. I was later and not in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning he was still in another position, but I visited him with many, many intellectuals in a big room of this Spanish room or how. And there were 200 people in line, and he had to shake hands with these 200 and to speak some personal to all of them, which is an impossible task, ultra-human task. And I admire really politicians, how can they manage it? They have extremely strong energies. For example, one of the politicians whom I respect very highly as a politician, is a very good person in Austria, very intelligent, sensitive. He said, we can continue our conversation, it was a private conversation, but you know, there is a Wahlkampf, an election period now, and I have to go in this underground, there I will have a speech, then we will have a walk, then we will arrive in a big hall, I will have a speech, and we continue so. So I accompanied him, and he was wonderful. He could speak in this underground very well. He answered questions, and he was on plan form. Then he was again, he switched, he was private, then he switched again, he was public. So it's an enormous sport, a training. But I believe that for artists it's quite impossible to switch here and there. They don't have two brains. And one brain will occupy the other brain. And if I have to speak always with a kind of responsibility, and a politician has to speak with a kind of responsibility as a V, then the other brain, which is much more insolent or improvisative or something else, private, will will be put in the refrigerator. So therefore it's better to choose, and people should choose following their temperature.
Yeah, we have to switch. We have to switch our, if not our public selves, then our microphones and reflectors. We have started with a Stichwort, a slogan, a quotation, and now I want to then just read one of the statement-like questions that came to the table, and it's critically intoned, and that's why I kept it for the very end. Isn't it too easy, even cowardish, to reduce this occasion to discuss and outline our temper utopia to a humble chat? There is nothing to celebrate. Work. And I think that's a very good end. I would like to... Thank you, Heiner. Before we go, I would like to ask Steve Austin or Felix Meritis to come to conclude this four-week-long series of talks and debates and performances. And of course, I thank you all for being here on this Sunday day for this talk. Thank you very much. Steve, are you here? Yes. Kind of back.
First of all, I thank Dragan Klajc to moderate this 2 days forum, and the participants have been our guests for the last few days, the last couple of hours, and they will stay with us for the next few hours. We will have an opportunity to inform the representatives from the press on what we decided yesterday. We worked a lot, not only in the artistic way, but also sharing opinions and trying to find solutions to help and to stimulate the artistic life in Europe as a whole, east and west, north and south. And of course, this work has to be done, and we are extremely glad that artists of this nature, professionals, take part in the preparation of these work. So, representatives from the press, please come to the Felix Meritis building. In the Oval Room, in the Kuppelzaal, we will inform you about these results immediately after this meeting. Then I have to thank the Goethe Institute Amsterdam, and of course the Paradiso organization, and our secret forces in Germany, especially in Berlin. Without the help of the very small informal bureau of the Felix Meritis Foundation, built with the help of Heiner Müller personally, it hadn't been as serious as it has been this last month. So I especially thank our secret workers there. They are all here, and we will share our experiences.
This is not the end, I hope. Although this is ein schönes Land ohne Schicksal, wo jedermann glücklich ist, versuchen wir doch, diese Debatte fortzuführen. Und das heißt, dass eine Dokumentation rauskommen wird. Wann wissen wir nicht. Es soll zweisprachig sein. Und wir hoffentlich geht es in die Buchladen, wird es zu Verkauf angeboten werden. Und dies war nur ein Anfang. Das Ende ist noch lange nicht da. Vielen Dank.